I hope and pray you stick around for the testimony service. The testimony service is usually a little longer than a regular church service because everybody jumps on the mic and shares what the Lord Jesus has done for them in the past 3 months. And so, but somewhere, you know, near the middle, I'm going to share, I'm going to read this vision to you all. And I praise God for it. Anyway, we're on question number 10. If you're new, scroll underneath the chat room. If you're using a cell phone, it's easier just to click where it says Sabbath study. You won't leave the room. It'll look like you are, but it just jerks you down to the bottom. And we're on question number 10. It's underneath the chat room. There's I built 3 iframes. So one for the chat room, one for the studies, and one for the sermon notes. So question number 10 is, what word in verse 5 means buried? And Romans chapter 6, verse 5 is, for if, thank you, Brother Gorin, for putting the verse in the room, and it is, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Yeah, it's obvious that the word planted here means death. As it states, we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, and everyone that has been baptized in the biblical method of full immersion knows you go completely under the water, just as a seed is completely covered in soil, planted. And and I find it amazing how the Lord's truth rings true even here in ways most never contemplate. Just as we know about the stages of life match that of the seasons on earth, and what I mean is, like, you know, in the spring we spring forth as we are born into this world, and in summer, wherein everything is fruitful, we too have a summer of life wherein we grow from the spring to be adults and summer to go forth as God has created us, you know, to go forth if we're obedient, and even if we're not. You know, that's one of the neat things too, you know. They don't seem to, even the atheist is used by God whether he likes it or not, so deal with it. You know, and just as the fall or autumn, where you see the flowers and the trees begin to fade in life, we too reach our golden years, where we go gray and you start to slow down a little bit in life, and some of us even retiring at the end of the work we did in summer. And then, of course, winter is the season on earth wherein all things appear cold and dead, just as we do when we die and grow cold in death. And so the reason I shared that is because it has to do with the way the Lord moved Paul to use the word planted in Romans 6, verse 5, when speaking of baptism, because we all know what happens when a seed is placed completely under the soil. Do you recall what Jesus said in John 12:24? We might want to put it in a room. Verily, verily, he said, and which means he's really serious. When he does that verily, verily thing, he did that a lot. So verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. In other words, it's just a little corn of wheat, you know. You can put it on your kitchen table and come back 20 years later. Here it is, still sitting there. But if you put it in the ground, if you bury it, and it dies, nothing happens. Jesus says, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So look at the seed that is planted in the same way a Christian is baptized. The seed goes under the soil and literally has to die and rot. When the seed dies, it causes a chemical change to happen that allows for germination. The plainest way that I know how to define this, like germination, I found a pretty easy way of doing it from freedictionary.com, is it says to come into existence. Seriously, that's what they put. Okay, that's their words. So as Jesus intimated here, the seed must be allowed to die so that the process of a new growth can come into existence and bring forth much fruit. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So baptism truly does illustrate the truth of the Lord in this creation, both in the natural world as well as the spiritual. But it's part of part and parcel to what we do. You know, the baptism is useless unless you actually go into water. And it's not going to save you. It's an open profession of faith that you have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, and you're going to bury the old man. You're going to bury your old ways. You're going to literally put behind you everything that used to entice you. That was bad, of course. I mean, there's things that are good. You know, that are okay to still continue to do as a Christian. As I said a moment ago, it's truly amazing, though, how the Lord's truth rings true even here in ways most never contemplate. Because you can see it in nature as well as you can see it in... As a matter of fact, Trey and I were talking earlier about how the atheists like to use a twist of things out of context about how everything is okay because of the way things are in nature. And I guess you guys were talking about this last night or Wednesday night or something like that. I don't know. Because the atheists will use it to their advantage, saying, look, why bother getting married? You see, because that's what I brought up when we were standing over there by the fish tank messing with the toads, because, you know, the toads had babies, and now we got tadpoles and baby toads everywhere. We're out there checking it out, and we got a conversation. But you see as I mentioned, the fact that, like, okay, I never, ever, ever have I seen, like, when you see a cat and a dog, you know, getting together, if you will, so that you're going to have kittens and puppies, or you see a tiger or an elephant or two giraffes, whatever the case may be, never once have I ever seen, since I was a child, I haven't even seen it in movies, I haven't even seen it in pictures, I have never, ever once seen any of these animals go and get a marriage certificate first. That's why the atheist hangs his hat there. Because fornication is part of their life. But if God says you have to be married first, well, forget that noise. Look at nature. They don't get married. We never see any, you know, I've never seen two tigers, you know, down by the Justice of the Peace looking to get a license. And that's the way they think. So that all being said, what would happen if you took some seeds, placed them on concrete, and sprinkled some soil on them as the pagans do in their baptismal act? Nothing at all. The seed remains dormant. A little dirty, but just dormant. No new growth is allowed to come forth, and that is the plan of Satan via the false religion of Catholicism and all those that follow her lead, you know, because she's the mother of harlots. This is why the Bible says that we, the remnant of her seed, are not defiled by those women, those false churches. And so, to echo the word of Jesus to Nicodemus that night, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again, John 3:7. Oh, that was last night, Trey? Okay. Anyway, unless we do as the Creator himself declares is necessary for us to be born again, we will never die of self. That's the symbol of, you know, you're acknowledging, okay, I'm giving up my old life. I'm burying it, going under the water completely. See, that's another reason why the pagans and the Catholics sprinkle. I'll give up a little bit here, a little bit there, but I'm not going to give it all up because I kind of like smoking, drinking, swearing, hanging out with my buddies in the bars and, you know, watching porn or whatever the case may be. So they'll sprinkle Jesus where they want him. In other words, they put him in a box. And that's why Catholicism has over 1 billion people. Well, actually, I would think 3 billion now if you count the Muslims and all the Protestants. So they've got half the planet. And this is why they do the things they do. This is why the Pope says the things he says. He's going with the numbers. He knows the remnant of God, you know, the small number of people that are left on the planet that understand Scripture. He knows their numbers are very, 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 very small. And so, like Goliath, he comes forth flexing, you know, even though Goliath came forth in a military fashion, he comes forth in a spiritual fashion trying to act like he's the leader of all these people, because he is. And he knows that our numbers are very small, but he, like Goliath, completely forgets this isn't our fight. We have a dog in this fight, yeah, but this isn't our fight. Creator's going to take care of this one, just like he did when he guided that stone towards Goliath's forehead, that pebble, actually. And yeah, and the reason, you know, David picked up a few more than just one, even though all the movies showing him throwing all these additional stones at Goliath, no, he tossed one time. And the reason he had the extra ones is because he knew Goliath had brothers. He figured he had to take him out, too. He didn't know if they were in the crowd, but I'm assuming he assumed they were, because he had them in the pouch. And he figured, oh, they see his brother dying, oh, they're going to come running out, so he'll just load up his sling again and, you know, start knocking these guys out one at a time, because the angel guided the pebble. Unless we die of self and come into into a new existence as a born-again believer that brings forth much fruit and any more than a seed on concrete, a few grains of soil sprinkled on a can, we're not going to be effective. Obedience is a major factor in the Christian walk because, as we know, by merely looking around today, billions of people claim to be Christians, yet none of them are Christians at all. Isaiah 4:1. We can echo that till Jesus splits that eastern sky, which we're going to do. Well, until the plagues begin anyway, because after the plagues begin, there's no reason to preach other than for edification purposes. Like you're in a cave or somewhere in a prison or something with other people that believe as you do. Yeah, you share the faith and edification, you know, to boost their spirits, if you will, for lack of a better term, because, you know, for all intents and purposes, they actually think they, you know, they might become victims of the guillotine. Or the crowds that are coming up on them in the cave or even in their own home. You know, because some of us might not even have time to get out and run for it. You remember? So, because a lot of us will be targeted. In other words, when the death penalty goes down, there's going to be certain people that, I mean, just look at what went down in Esther's day. And I'm assuming they would use the exact same method. You know, you kill these Christians for the world so that we all don't die in these calamities, of course, will be their excuse. But you kill these Christians, you get to keep all their goodies and their toys. Well, if you're holding heavy, you know, like if you got money, there'll be a bullseye on your house. And so some of us may not have time to run. Still, if you're part of the Gideon Band, it doesn't matter. But again, do you know you're part of the Gideon Band? Well, until that time, I can't really answer that question because it has a lot to do with faith on top of everything else. You know, I would have to think that we're going to know that his hand is actually moving in a way that we didn't expect, and so there's a strong possibility. But still, like Isaiah, you feel undone. You just don't feel worthy. I was talking to one of the brothers earlier about that, about, you know, every now and then I just feel like stepping down as pastor. I just don't feel like qualified. I don't feel worthy. And a lot of you are the same way. You feel undone. And I'm not saying that to toot a horn because we all think that way. And that's, we got to stay that way. You can't get out there like these doctors of divinity with this alphabet soup after their names. You know, all the letters like the PhD and the, what is a doctorate of divinity? Well, that would just be a D, right? I don't know. I never even looked at it. But they all, you know, clamor after the sheepskin hanging on their walls. And that's what moves them. And or, you know, getting the expensive car in a driveway or the expensive house or whatever the case may be. But like Enoch and or even Jesus himself not having a place to lay his head, that's not what's important. Because this isn't life down here. This isn't real life. This isn't the definition of life. If it was, explain the tornadoes, earthquakes, the hurricanes, and the everything else that's going on, and the wars. We know who our God is. We know he's a God of love and peace and gentleness. And so what's going on down here? Like I was saying last night, like in the wintertime, it's dull, the dead cold days of winter. If I step outside, what is the first thing that comes to my mind? Sin. The very time I step out of my house on a cold winter's night or cold winter's day, and I see how bitterly cold it is outside, like say it's windy and cold. I don't mind the cold. I just don't like it when it's windy and cold. And out here, that's the norm. That's why we got the windmills. But there, you step out there, and the very first thing that comes to my mind is sin. Or if I was to happen to go over to check out the, you know, Grand Canyon, that's what it is. Yeah, if I was to look at the very first thing that comes to my mind if I saw the Grand Canyon would be sin. Because every time I see a picture of it, that's what I think of, Noah's Ark. I literally think of the great deep bursting forth, the planet splitting up in all these areas, and the water gushing out and causing the global flood, and of course later on the days of Peleg when everything split up and moved in the continents, slid off their tectonites or something. I don't know. They just, Pangaea was no longer there. It was just everybody all split up, right? So every time I see all these, or even the snow-capped mountain, I see sin. Because if it wasn't for sin, none of that stuff would be here. There wouldn't be a Grand Canyon. There wouldn't be winter, and there certainly wouldn't be any snow-capped mountains. So obedience is a major factor in the Christian walk because we know just by looking around today, billions of people claim to be Christians. Billions of them. And next to none of them are. It's just like in Enoch day and especially in Noah's day, like Jesus said, like it was in the days of Noah when we go forth. All of them are going to burn in hellfire, and they weep and gnash their teeth because when their self-deception is finally wiped away from their minds, they finally come to realize that they never really did allow Jesus to be the true Lord of their lives. They gave him lip service. We were talking about that last night, too. And so their realization comes far too late. And they declare in unison, no less, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Prophet Jeremiah echoed that in chapter 8, verse 20. In retrospect. That's a retrospect echo. You know, even though he said it first. Because I don't really take into consideration the lost saying it when they say it, because they're lost. It doesn't matter what they say, other than to glorify the Lord, just like when the water fell on them at the Red Sea. You know, let us flee for their God fights for them. You know, that's the last thing they said. They glorified the Lord. Okay, your job's done. So as we know, by living in a sin-sick world, anyone can fake Christianity out there, and they do it in droves. But only a small remnant will actually confirm what it means to be the bride of Christ. Okay, so let's go to number 11. Why was John baptizing Anan? Or in Anan, rather. In John chapter 3, verse 23. And this coincides with the method of baptism. There's a reason. Because again, you know, like I saw a video years ago, and I think I saw it again recently, too, and it has to do with the Apostle Paul coming to realization that he didn't already become Saul. And Barnabas baptizes him out in some back alley by taking some water and sprinkling it on his forehead. But that's Hollywood. Well, it wasn't Hollywood, but it was, they're more or less the same kind of people, these films. This one passage alone in John 3, verse 23 says, and John also was baptizing in Anan near Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. So this one passage alone rebukes Catholicism. I mean, this has got to be the one passage, too, that makes Roman Catholics wonder about, because first and foremost, we know baptizing babies is wrong, because Acts chapter 8 is clear about repenting and proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord before going in the water. And that's why chapter 8, verse 37 is completely missing from the Catholic Bibles, the NIVs, the NASBs, the Douay Rheims, all the Bibles. That verse isn't there. In fact, the number's missing, too. You'll go from verse 36 to 8. That's ridiculous. And they miss it. They don't even read their Bibles anyway. But if they actually came to a place where they started reading it, they're not going to find that verse. As is so very obvious, an infant cannot repent of sins never committed, and they most certainly cannot speak or form the words necessary to all listening on that they have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. But the fact this passage in John says John went to Anan because there was much water there proves the Church of Rome is pagan, and they refuse to put down their idols. So let them alone. Like it says, like when Ephraim refused to put down his idols, the Lord says, back off, let them alone. What do you do? I mean, remember Titus 3:10? So in other words, pagans sprinkle water on the foreheads of their infants as they perform what they call wickening or saining. That's S-A-I-N-I-N-G. Saining. And so to perform the wickening, the act of wickening, means to seek the illumination every witch's coven performs on infants that they believe it an inherent right of the child of pagan parents. It's also called the circle of Isis rising, when they have a circle of mothers perform the ritual upon the infant. This is one of the reasons you'll see people praying, you know, what they call a prayer chain or a prayer circle. Pentecostals do it all the time. Catholics have been doing it since day one because they're pagan. They don't realize it, but their priests are. But they form a circle and they all hold hands. Like when my grandma died, my dad's ma, when she died, and I was like, I don't know, I was a teenager. I can't even remember. No, I wasn't a teenager. I think I was married at the time. And Grandma Stella died. And she, the casket is up there by the altar. And the entire family, and that's huge because I'm one of 11 kids. So there was a lot of people there that day. We all held hands and surrounded the casket and the altar and prayed. And that was difficult for me because when I start to weep, I like to cover my face because it just gets all distorted. It's hard. I can't handle it. It just, because I saw my whatever. So, but that's the reason for the prayer circle. that came from pagan origin. So it's considered a purification ceremony that puts the child on the path of a sacred covenant when they do this with kids, you know, their infants. So the ritual provides for what they assume is a divine protection upon their child. You know, it's very much in the same way the pentagram has the circle around it, and you're supposed to stand in the center to protect you from demons. And when I asked that young witch when I was a teenager, well, who told you to do that? And she goes, well, her, you know, she has a demon, or what was she call it? A familiar spirit is what the Bible calls it, but spirit guide. Yeah, that's what she called it. I says, okay, and it's demonic. She goes, yeah, but this is a good spirit. I says, so a demon tells you to go in there to protect you from other demons, and you believed him? I mean, even before I was a Christian, I thought that was laughable. Because, you know, the black floor, the pentagram, the candles, the whole nine yards, you got to be kidding me. So like most Catholic priests, they also place what they claim to be holy oil upon the child's forehead, a crimson, just like the pagans do. And this is also why they use the term godparents. That, too, originated wherein the parents could choose a friend to or a relative to help educate, you know, the child who's being wiccanized into a pagan belief system so as to nurture and strengthen the divine protection of the gods. And this and if this kid has any kind of shows any promise whatsoever, there, you know, when it comes to the coven end of things, especially when they're casting spells and whatnot, that they'll actually form into a witch later on in life, and that has to start at a very early age when they're infants. And so this is one of the reasons for the quote-unquote God parents. So, but being that it is all of Satan, their divine being, or gods, as it were, are all demons who help guide the child towards damnation. And so this is why the Vatican, a confirmed devil-worshipping church, performs this act upon the infants. And we confirm this because I did a couple of videos about this. As a matter of fact, recently I did one where we show the audience hall of the Vatican where they hold all these big main political events, and they got thousands of people sitting in there watching it. When you walk in the audience hall, it looks like you're walking into the mouth of a serpent. And he actually has the fangs and everything. You got to see that video. You wouldn't believe it. The outside of the building is shaped like the head of a serpent. The shape and everything, with the lump and the eyes and the front nose. I mean, it's right next to the Vatican, literally. Check out that video when you get a chance. It's unbelievable. And because people thought I was crazy when I put out that one video about the 2000 the Fatima Congress, where Archbishop Emmanuel Malingo came forward and said they caught people red-handed holding worship services for Satan inside the Vatican. And they laughed him out of town because he said this in front of 2,000 bishops. But then later on, when they built that audience hall, it became, okay. Now they finally believe it. But most people don't read their Bibles, and they don't think there's something that's really that big of a deal. Even though they know, because now Satanism is actually considered a confirmed religion in the United States of America as about 3 or 4 years ago. So this ritual, this wiccanizing thing, or christening as they also call it, this ritual can also be used later in life, wherein the child can be given a new name as a youth or even an adult who has agreed to join the coven. And yes, this is where the ritual of confirmation in the Roman Catholic Church originated, because that can happen at the age of 10. That's how the pagans do it, same age. And just so you know, be it an infant, be it a youth, or be it an adult, there is a fee to be paid to the priest of the pagan church for performing the ritual, and this is why Roman Catholic priests offer or Roman Catholic parents offer their priests some money for doing this to their children. I remember my dad slipping a few bucks to the guy that, you know, confirmed me at age 10. I don't remember my baptism because I was, you know, an infant. But I remember when when we had our children baptized, the first four, I think, were baptized in the Catholic Church. We have, of course, renounced it as Satan, and so they're null and void as far as I'm concerned. And as they're concerned, too, none of them are Catholic. I remember slipping some money to the priest every time. Or the weddings, or the funerals, any ritual whatsoever in Catholic Church, these priests make money hand over foot. And so, but as for the ritual of sainting, and I'll finish with this because we're getting close to the end, that too is considered a ritual to cultivate a blessing and protection and even consecration of a child of pagan parents, and it's done in the same way the Catholics do the baptism, where the pagans to this day call this a protective charm, and perform properly. you know, like the Catholic baptism, they use a very little water that is sprinkled on the infant, but they can also use the smoke from a burning juniper, which must be accompanied by spoken prayers of poetry. So sainting is not as formal as wickening, and so not many people, pagans, use it. But when an entire family or livestock of the family require a blessing or request a blessing, the ritual is used, as it makes for much quicker ceremony. Those involved will drink and then sprinkle what they call magic water, which they must get from a dead or living puddle of water across a walkway. You can't just turn on a faucet. You know, you got to wait for it to rain, and you got to go for a puddle and get the water from there. And after sprinkling all the people, their home and or livestock, the priest then goes about the house with the burning juniper to bless it with smoke. All right, that thing that he swings, same thing today. The people are to remain in the house and close it up tight. Now here, get this. I couldn't believe this because I did some research on this, and this is why I'm sharing this. They didn't do this part when I was a Catholic, but we do remember the smoke and all this other stuff that they used when they wanted to bless the entire family or the church family, because the priest would go up and down the aisles with that smoke, the incense in it. It was either sandalwood or juniper. The people that remain in the house and close it up tight until they begin sneezing or coughing. Then they perform a few more rituals that are very strange. And the thing is, they rarely do this ritual anymore since a young girl with asthma literally died when she choked to death while in the house filled with smoke. And to think, the smoke was supposed to protect the children. And again, they didn't catch that. Because the next year they'll just do it again when they have another baby. So please keep the Catholic people in your prayers, as they are totally unaware that Satanists have created their religion with the sole purpose of destroying as much about Christianity as possible by using pagan rules that Satan drummed up that go directly against everything the Lord himself outlines in his word regarding everything from baptism to communion. I hope and pray you are blessed. Is anybody recording these buddies? Because my recorder didn't work. This happens every now and then. This is why some of the brethren do. Oh, Brother Joe? Okay, Brother Joe, can you stop the recording now and email the MP3 to me when you get a chance? I split them. I don't do... That's okay. You don't have to have the prayer at the beginning. As long as we have the bulk of the study, that's okay. But that's perfectly fine. But I like to split them up because otherwise it's huge. And people like to listen to the studies, and some people like to listen to the sermons, and some people both. Email it to me when you get a chance, okay, brother? Leave that because it is. All right, thank you. So whoever's got the music, start that, and then we'll have the testimony, sir. Drop the mic.